I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
I don't know why you're smiling like that. Like, your team is doing anything other than disgracing
themselves.
It's
not about my team. I just, because I remember saying, like, I don't think Poch would do anything at Chelsea.
Okay.
Because I don't rate Poch. You know?
I don't rate eggheads.
We are where we are. Do you rate Poch?
I don't think it's his fault, but we'll discuss it later.
Okay, interesting. All right, hey guys. Welcome back to the Gold Diggers podcast. A lot has happened over the weekend. A couple of uncomfortable conversations need to be had, just like the one you heard over there about Erik ten Hag and Mauricio Pochettino. Unfortunately, in my opinion anyway, Lorenzo smiles.
Still smiling.
All right. So is Ella.
I'm always smiling, to be fair.
When you were 1-0 down, you were not smiling. That's true.
That first 45 minutes, we'll come on to that, but damn.
We will definitely come to it. But first, let me introduce the panel. You're joined by myself, at Anita Abayomi on all social media platforms. And we are here with
Beatrice, at Bucky _ Beatrice.
Tima at Teams _GH.
Ella at LFCLs.
And Lauren at Lauren Coys.
So let's get straight into it. Beatrice, what was you and Tima having a conversation about?
Oh, we're talking about Poch. And Tima seems to think what's going on at Chelsea has nothing to do with Poch.
I didn't say that.
Okay, she seems to think it's not Poch's fault.
I just don't think it's all his fault, no.
Okay. And why is that?
You just want to get me angry straight away. Fair.
Let's go.
Not to be a broken record, but I think the board have a lot to do with what's going on at Chelsea. It's the same patterns that we saw last season. And they are guilty of one of the worst sackings in football history. So when you have that combination...
Football history?
Yeah, I genuinely think it's the worst sacking, one of the worst sackings.
I think that's quite dramatic, but...
It's not, no. Because it's dramatic about what's happened to Chelsea since then.
So do you rate, is that the number, out of all of the sackings that Chelsea have made, is this your absolute worst?
Be careful.
I think it's the worst given the circumstances. It's not the worst. Obviously, like, Jose the first time broke my heart, but it's not the, but it's the worst in terms of the circumstances, in terms of the arrogance, in terms of what they thought they were going to do versus what the reality. Like, you know when you see the Instagram versus the reality, and it's two completely things? That is, like, basically what we have. And I think they are failing, like, their decisions are failing the club. We were talking earlier, they haven't even announced a sponsor. We are 5 games into the season. This sponsorship is supposed to be 1-year deal. It's going to be about 2 weeks by the time everything goes through. What's the point? Like, you sell half a team, you sell half our team or 3/4 of the team, and you bring in players that lack any quality. There's only 3 signings that they've made that have had any quality. Everyone else, meaty, from top to bottom. But Poch doesn't escape.
Potential.
But it's a massive gamble. Like, you're gambling for no reason. Like, everything's a gamble. Jackson's a gamble. Sanchez is a gamble. Like, keeping Conor Gallagher is a gamble. Like, it's so unnecessary. It's not necessary.
Captain Conor Gallagher.
For me, man.
Yeah, why is he captain as well?
Yeah.
It just like lacks, it just so lacks such, it's just amateurish. And during the week, like Chelsea fans saw that Paul Winstanley and Lawrence Stewart came out and basically did PR talking about how they had to lower the age of the team. No one asked you to do that. That's on your own. Like, you don't want to buy anyone be up above the age of 14. That's on you.
14.
And
it was 25.
It's practically like all these 19. And then what else did they say about contracts and stuff? Like, it's not going to work. Like, if you don't bring in the best, if you don't have the absolute best in every position of your club, because that's what Roman Abramovich did. He brought in the best, and that's why Chelsea were able to sustain their success over the 20-year period. So this ownership have brought in people from Brighton who have never won a trophy in their life, in the history of the club. They've never won a trophy. And you're bringing them in to manage Chelsea's transfers and signing new contracts. Is that the best?
I would say Poch is the best.
But Poch is also not the best. So you're coming in with substandards, and what do you expect to produce? You're never gonna have a world class outcome if your parts are meaty from top to bottom.
Okay, let's keep it on performance, right?
Sorry.
You're right. Okay. Because you're doing lumens.
Let's
go on to the performances. Heated. And I'll come to you last. Okay? Is that all right?
I don't even know. Let me.
By the way, guys, the way Tiba entered the podcast. Yeah. I thought you were going to fight somebody. I'm not going to lie. But let's talk about performances. And I'm going to look at you, Lauren, because you told us we're in for a treat with Pochettino. You oversold it to us and you
I
said...
I did not. Okay,
she sold it to you,
She did it.
You sold it. You said that we're in for a treat and like Poch ball this, Poch ball that. So if I may ask you, not in any sarcasm at all, but what treat are we not having at the moment? Like, have you watched Chelsea?
In Poch's first season at Spurs, he was close to the sack at Spurs. It was going that badly. He needs time. And the mess that he's in at Chelsea is worse than the mess that at Spurs he inherited a really poor squad. He has a better squad, but it's a mess. You've got people who are moving to the country that they're learning how, like, he's got a lot to deal with. Mm. And Chelsea's recruitment policy has been to sign young players, not necessarily to sign winners. There's a lack of experience within that Chelsea team. So in terms of who can he look to apply the right standards or lead the team, you know, through this kind of bad period, who's going to take, you know, the game by the scruff of the neck? He hasn't been really provided with those players. Yeah.
12 injuries as well.
Yeah.
Not an excuse.
But I mean, I watched Chelsea today. I don't necessarily, I don't think it was Poch's fault. That the tactical setup and the coaching, he coached a win. You've got a striker Timo's that looking... doesn't know how to put a ball into the back of the net. There was a lack of clinicalness and quality in the final third. But I don't think Chelsea were outplayed. Personally, they should have won the game.
They haven't been outplayed in any of them. I think they have one of the top possession stats so far this season. It's their conversion rate. They're not scoring goals.
But who assumed that just having Nicholas Jackson up front would ever be enough for any
thank
top
you.
Team
any
thank
top you team. So much thank you
hold it in hold it
yeah
like it's not enough. Like, I think the Chelsea number nine position is really hard to play in general. Nicholas Jackson is not enough.
All right, and Ella, I'm gonna come to you because you've witnessed the whole rebuild in your squad with Jurgen Klopp. This must have been years back, obviously, but when you were in that position where your team wasn't getting the wins and things just didn't seem to be clicking, how was it for you?
To be honest, with Klopp, what helped is that you saw small progression all the time. So even in the first match against Tottenham away, you saw the style of play instantly. And you could see that we were building slowly season after season. Mm. But with Chelsea, like the number nine, I don't know if you saw Vlahovic's performance for Juve. But you're thinking, why on earth?
All that money spent and to finish just Jackson.
Honestly, it's crazy. Because I think what they wanted to do is swap deal with Lukaku or something like that.
And 35 million.
I would have taken that because look how well he performed on the weekend. Guaranteed goals, strong, pacey.
Do you know such a lot of Chelsea fans didn't want him?
Nah.
Can you imagine? After, sorry, you told me not to.
No, but it's true because like no top, look, the same way the relegation teams end up in relegation because they don't have a striker that can get them the goals. You're not going to get the top four if you don't have a striker that can get you goals, or if you haven't got goals then coming from your wide players. Like Liverpool, Salah produces a lot of goals, so a number nine doesn't have to score as many. But you look at I look at Chelsea and I think where are the goals coming from until the likes of Nkunku or whoever come back.
But is Sterling just doing everything? It's Sterling literally Sterling, carrying the attack.
Sterling was tired today.
He's the only one with the experience to take the game and say, this is the standard.
He was tired. But Beatrice, coming to, because you're the one that posed the question, right, about Pochettino and Chelsea. What have you seen in Pochettino's Chelsea that you're thinking, yeah, this isn't going to bang?
I think for me, it was even before he joined Chelsea. Because there was a period where Man United obviously wanted him. And for me, the issue with that was, can he come to a club where there's big expectations and perform? And I had question marks around that. So for me, him going to Chelsea, where the fans are known to have high expectations, I thought he'd struggle under that pressure. Especially like you said, going through like having new ownership, having loads of players that he doesn't quite know what to do with. I think that's a huge challenge. Like we saw at PSG, he went there, everyone had high expectations of him. He didn't quite perform as expected. He didn't, you know, get them the European trophy like he was expected. I feel like if he can't do that at a club like PSG, where they have great, amazing players.
Tuchel didn't do that at PSG and he won. Like, I'm just like, as a comparison, that's fair. Most other managers have gone to PSG and not struggled. Got the Champions League.
Yeah, okay, that's a good point. But I still think at Chelsea, like, where the fans want to see a European trophy, where they want to be in top four, I just feel like he's going to struggle to do that. That's just my thought.
Tima?
I don't necessarily disagree. I think the problem with Poch was always going to have this season is that with Chelsea, it has the ability to turn really toxic very, very quickly. Mm. You already see that at the end of today's game that they were booing him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's why like these youngsters and this experiment. Again, so coupled that with the fact that we've got an ex-Tottenham manager that a lot of Chelsea fans didn't want in the first place, that's not a recipe for disaster, because you have young players who have let's be honest, they like mentally they haven't developed that mental strength that you need. Even some top professionals at Manchester United hasn't developed that mental strength that you need to play like top football. So you have that with that's what I said, isn't it? You have that plus a coach that played for one of our most hated rivals with an experiment that didn't work last season, and so that is fresh in people's minds. So it has it already is a recipe for disaster. But one thing I think Poch has come in to do is develop those young players. But it's just whether Chelsea fans are going to give him time to do it, I don't think they are.
No, I don't think the board understand the Chelsea fan base.
No,
because I think it's not because the whole this has happened with Graham Potter. They literally have tried this culture and what they're trying to develop with Graham Potter. It didn't work. Obviously, Lampard was the stopgap. They've done it again with Poch. The Chelsea board do not understand that the fan base will not wait. Mm. Like it's not. Mm. It's you could put any manager who's won one in the first five games at Chelsea, the only one being Luton at home, and the Chelsea fans would have the same opinion.
Yeah.
It's not a Poch problem. It's the fact that if you're a Chelsea manager, you need to win in your first season because that's what the club do. That's what the fans have become accustomed to. And the board have come away from that and said, okay, we're going to build young, we're going to build a winning team in 5 years. But the Chelsea fans are not going to sit there and wait 5 years.
And to be honest, everyone, that all of your points are completely bang on, especially the Nicholas Jackson thing. I spent the summer telling Chelsea fans, do not get excited about pre-season. Nicholas Jackson isn't enough. He literally scored 12 goals at the end of the season and then got a big move. Like, he hasn't proved that he can be that striker on a sustained, like, over, like, even a course of a whole season. So why we think we don't need another striker, and if we go to January and go and buy Ivan Tony, I'm going to come on this pod and lose my mind. Because if that is the plan, because it's a gamble, it's another gamble.
No, it's not a gamble.
Let me tell you why it's a gamble. You're gambling on Nicholas Jackson.
How ironic.
I know.
You said it, not me. it's a gamble because what you're saying is, okay, we're going to be okay for half a season. So you think that just what we have is going to be enough to take us to January. And it's another gamble because we don't know what condition he's going to come back after he's been out for, what, a year? Mm. Or however many months? 8 months. I don't know what mindset he's going to come back to. And he's going to cost £80 million.
But then it's kind of like, okay, the mindset, you don't know what kind of mindset he's going to come back to. Obviously, he's done a couple of interviews where he said he's still hungry and he still wants to play football and he's still got that desire to be that number nine player. And watching him at Brentford, before the whole situation with his ban happened, he was still on fire and he can.
He's a 20-goal season striker.
Yeah, he is. Brentford. Also, I think, like you said, he's quite hungry. And exactly. To come back, he's going to have to prove a point that, can I produce the same results without the whole gambling thing on the side?
At Brentford, he could do that. At Chelsea, where it's probably going to...
Come on,
Tima. I think he's... Listen, that Chelsea situation isn't a great situation to walk into.
Then, who is going to walk into that Chelsea situation as a nine and thrive?
It's probably the least risk of anyone.
I don't know. £80 million. Not for me.
He doesn't have to adapt.
I'd take him at United, boy.
You know? I'd take him at Spurs.
I would take Ivan Tony. And if they're monitoring his situation, I would think that's the first thing that they are doing completely right when it comes to our striker situation.
And let's not forget, he'll go back to training, very, very soon. It's not as if he's just going to rock up in January having not... obviously, he's not going to play, but in terms of being in and around a top professional football club, he will start that again this month.
The one thing that Chelsea lack right now is scoring goals. Ivan Tony brings you goals. And another thing that Raheem Sterling is kind of lacking right now, people are talking about Nicholas Jackson and the Mudrick link up today being decent or half decent, right? I see it as you have Raheem Sterling up there. I would have preferred to have seen a link up with Nicholas Jackson and Raheem Sterling, and Nicholas Jackson getting into them places where he can tee up Raheem Sterling. Look, like you said, it looked like Raheem Sterling was doing everything alone, right? Ivan Tony is the answer to that. He's that player that is good at hold up play, link up play, and finishing. What more do you want in a striker? Maybe it won't, in your opinion, maybe it won't go as well as you think, but it will probably be better than gambling outside of the league. Because I'm looking outside of the league, Vlahovic, okay, who else?
Osimhen.
And the thing is, that's an even bigger gamble.
His name's Seko. The guy at Leipzig.
Yeah, but that's again, but he's another one. Has he been doing it for longer than a season?
Sorry, Tima, what are we saying here? You picked an injury prone person and you picked a place where Werner came from.
And Osimhen is going to cost you 120, 150 minimum.
Bring me Osimhen.
But he's so injury prone.
You want another injury? Reece James, look at our injury list right now.
And I thought the
is there even any room
issue?
Left?
If the price tag is an issue, why go with Osimhen?
So Osimhen, he's going to sign new contracts with a release clause.
Yeah, but Napoli are not going to agree to that contract at anything below 100 minimum.
Bring me Osimhen.
Osimhen over Ivan Tony.
Yeah.
Osimhen over Ivan Tony.
I said what I said.
That I think that's more of a gamble than bringing Ivan Tony back to Premier League.
Anyone but Nicholas Jackson. Do you see that shot where he literally shot and fell over?
Oh, that one that went left of the goal. That was funny.
As I said last week,
eating himself after that.
And not last week. As I think I've said before, anyone who tucks in their shorts like that, you better bring your A game. Like, you better... Do you know he has... Do you know, in terms of his expected goals, he's way, way behind. He's supposed to have had, like, 5 goals and he scored 1. I knew it wasn't going to go right the moment he did not take that penalty against West Ham. I was like, this is not the guy. This isn't the guy. Baby Drogba, please.
Okay.
Who said that?
Drogba's
first season was atrocious.
Not this bad.
It was.
It was bad, but not Nicholas Jackson bad.
It's been 5 games.
1 goal.
How many did Drogba have in that entire season?
13.
Girl, in the Premier League. Girl.
To be honest, I think Nicholas Jackson also needs to physically develop, because I look at him and think,
it's a bit like Bambi.
Yeah, yeah. He just looks like he's not in quite control of both of the limbs at the right time, with the decision making, with the strength, all at the same time. Tony would bring that, in all fairness, because nobody likes to play against Tony. I think if you're Ruben Dias or one of these defenders, you look at Nicholas Jackson and think, yeah, that's fine. I can handle that. And that's his problem right now.
So Chelsea have one win in... one win in five. They started off well, drew against Liverpool 1-1, lost to West Ham 3-1, beat Luton 3-0. Things looked bright after we beat Luton.
Beating Luton with zero points. No. Down at the bottom.
We didn't even play well that game. It was a day to remember.
Jobber got 10 goals, by the way.
10 goals.
Premier League. Yeah, out of 26.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if Lincoln Jackson can get 10 Premier League goals. They lost to Nottingham Forest at home, which was a shock, and drew 0-0 with Bournemouth today. Their next games, they've got Aston Villa at home, Fulham away, Burnley away, before they go to Arsenal after the international break. Can you see any 3 points from that team?
We should be collecting 9 points. We will not collect 9 points. I don't know. Like, I'm just used to Chelsea not winning now. Even today, I didn't expect them to win. I wasn't surprised about Nottingham Forest. I just poured another drink and moved on with my life.
Just said, cheers.
I need Pochettino to be in place for when he comes to N17. So don't sack him before then, please.
November
the 6th. I have tickets now, so please.
That's, one thing I will say, though, is that October Chelsea fans are crying about, I think Chelsea will do better than people expect. So you can say that, but if you get one injury in your team, I think you're finished. Tottenham. One day, one injury away from being finished. If Madison gets injured.
Do you know what? Do you agree with that, Lauren?
We're not one injury away from being finished, but we are our spine. If we lose two from the spine, but I've said this before. Like, it's like, I know that we only have a starting 11 right now, and when they don't play, the wheels come off. We're not in the Carabao Cup anymore because that team didn't play. Like, it's the reality. But whilst they're not fit, and I was there begging, who was it, Argentina, whoever it was happy to see Madison on the bench for England, whilst they are fit, if they're fit and everybody's fit going into the Chelsea game, I'll feel confident. Okay, if you guys don't improve.
You'll see.
I just feel like you're hated so
hard. We will see, man. I think it's
because she goes from saying, "Oh, I didn't expect us to win against Bournemouth," to "We'll see."
The thing is that what you guys are not appreciating is Tottenham are our biggest rivals. Like, it's not like it's a different game from playing like Bournemouth. If Tottenham fans want to be confident, cool. We'll see.
All right, and we'll leave the Chelsea talk there before you two start getting into it.
Bunny out.
Okay, full stop.
Imagine the owner. He's not good anyway. Drink a cup of tea. Sleep. Have another glass of champagne.
How long have I been calling Daniel Levy's name?
Bro, do you know how much money he has?
Thank you, the Glazers.
Can we actually all just talk about our owners? All of them out, man. All of them.
I don't know why you're complaining.
Huh? FSG.
They're stingy.
Oh,
yeah.
Anissa, please. They're not.
10 more years, FSG. 10 more years.
As for Glazers, I'm slightly starting to feel sorry for Man United. Nah. Wait, sorry. The team that plays on the day. I'm slightly starting to feel sorry for them, personally. Because losing 3-1 at home at a Manchester United ground is unheard of. But anyway, let's talk about it, Beatrice. Brighton came to your gaff. It wasn't a great match for Erik ten Hag, but it wasn't a bad match, as some people say. What was your take on
it? Who are those people?
Do you know, it was so sickening to me, and Gogo, I'm going to call you out here. He was telling me, yeah, but Man United didn't play that that badly. Sometimes you can play well and not get 3 points.
We didn't play that badly in the first 30 minutes. Mm. After that, we collapsed. So I would still overall call it a pretty bad game, because at the end of the day, we're at home, and that's where, you know, historically we play the best. So if that's happening at home, then what's going to happen away?
Rashford was away. He missed a lot of chances, didn't he?
What was annoying me with Rashford was that he got into some really good positions, but then he chose to shoot all the time instead of like playing to the best player available, which was really annoying because now's not the time to be in your selfish bag. Now's the time to pass to other people because we needed the goals. So it was really annoying that Rashford felt like he needed to, I don't know what was going on with him, but he felt like he needed to score in that game. And that cost us in the first 30 minutes where we had the momentum.
But do you think now that was because I looked at your lineup and I thought it just seemed a little bit unbalanced. And it seemed like there was probably more reliance on Rashford in that lineup.
I mean, we tried Ten Hag tried something different with the diamond formation. Rashford and Hoyland played up top. We hadn't really tried that before. So I think he was trying to see how well they would work together. And it wasn't bad, but like you said, it was pretty unbalanced. And I think we should have just gone with a regular 4-3-3 and played Pellestri on the right, but that didn't happen. And again, he should have changed the, like, when things stop working, just change it quickly. But it's like he wanted to see how it would go, and it just didn't go in our favor. And Brighton just completely played us off the park in the second half. So it was a bad game. I had to turn it off like after 2-0 because we weren't coming back.
And looking at Brighton's perspective, I'm going to come to you, Timo, seeing as we're basically Brighton now. Looking at Brighton's perspective, you come to Manchester
Brighton
United.
Brighton correspondent.
Brighton correspondent. That's basically who we are now. We are Brighton. No, okay. But looking at Brighton's performance, and you kind of see, what's the manager's name again?
De Zerbi.
And see how well he's doing with these group of players. And Kari Mutoma, who's meant to be their star player, he was non-existent against Man United, but Brighton still managed to cook. What do you make of this
he
Brighton
rotated
team?
As well. That Brighton, that wasn't Brighton's strongest 11.
It wasn't.
He rotated.
Estupinyanyam.
Estupinyanyam.
Estupinyan.
Yeah, finish.
Estupinyan. That's how you pronounce Estupinyan. He wasn't on the pitch, and he's probably one of their best better defenders.
Evan Ferguson was on the bench.
He was on the bench. And you look at that team and you're thinking, okay, Brighton might be cooking something up here.
Yeah, because the thing about Brighton is that they have a good succession plan. So when they lost Potter, they didn't panic. They knew who they're going to get in straight away. And De Zerbi has already said that he just built on what Potter's philosophy that he had, so he had a good base to build on. And because, you know, Brighton is not a team that has huge expectations, so he can experiment, he can tweak things, he can rotate the team. But you know what I was really impressed with is everyone knows their roles and everyone's hungry, and they just wanted it more than Manchester United. It was quite obvious. And I was really impressed with their movement, really impressed with the way that Danny Welbeck took his goal, and I'm glad that he celebrated at Old Trafford. My Ghanaian brother. So yeah, like, I was really impressed with him. I wasn't impressed with Martinez though. I thought he was shocking.
Beatrice, I'm gonna give the Argentinians a pass just because they did have to go and play at La Paz because McAllister will come to that. Romero had a good game, but but they had to play at altitude, and it's 48 hours for some of them coming back. I'm not surprised some of them, their heads were on Pluto in the way that they were playing.
Martinez was terrible. I think at least two of those goals were his fault.
Yeah.
And is it Reguilon, Reggaeton?
Reguilon. I heard he had a good game. Like, he wasn't one of the better ones.
Why does he always look like he's on the verge of tears? Like, just his resting face is just cry face.
That's so mean.
Isn't it?
Anyway, the Man United defence all over the shop. Casemiro, I don't know what's happened to him. He's fallen off a cliff this season.
Man United effect, isn't it? I mean, it's only been 5 games. Relax.
Has he been good in any of those games?
We haven't been good as a collective, to be honest. So.
But last season, he was carrying that team a little bit. And this season, he's been...
I think Rashford last year was carrying... Because if Rashford scored, it would kind of get them through the game.
And Casemiro scored really key goals. Like, yeah. Really key headers.
Yeah.
But now, without Rashford's goals, and if Casemiro's not getting goals from set pieces or whatever it is, he doesn't have protection in midfield. Like, it's not the... I think as a DM, if you're playing next to, like, an Eriksen-type player, it's not the easiest to then do your job.
Mm. He has to cover a lot of ground, and he can't do it as one man. He's also aging, so...
Scott McTominay.
Well, we've always known he wasn't good.
How is he? If you just gave him the Scottish shirt on top of the United one, or maybe put it underneath.
Joe Afford was so cheeky, and I know we're not doing international week, but during international week, Graham Souness was comparing Matt Tominay to Jude Bellingham.
To Bellingham! Graham Souness has to find shame. He actually has to find shame.
He needs to find shame.
Because
that's when you're putting them in the same sentence. Like, what? Be for real.
He just doesn't like black men thriving.
Yeah, he's just racist.
Boy, one day we'll have a talk about these pundits, because Graham
We need a change, man. We need a change.
We need you to change. But back to Man United's defence and their defensive issues. Would you have preferred to have seen a Maguire in your backline?
Of course not. I mean, I would rather Martinez dropping a 3 out of 10 than Maguire dropping a 5 out of 10, because it's infinitely better. So,
damn.
What's the point?
Nah.
Cool. It's true, though.
Can you actually say that again, just so that Maguire's mother and everybody else can...
But there's a reason Maguire doesn't play in our team. There's a reason he's fifth choice. There's a reason why Luke Shaw plays as a centre-back in front of him. Like, there's a reason.
Because he isn't good.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the Maguire situation, right? Maguire's mother comes out and says... Stop taking it.
Sorry.
Maguire's mother comes out and makes a statement about the abuse that he's been getting. And obviously, there's no room for abuse for any kind of footballer. Whether you're playing really badly or not, there's no room for abuse, right? I made a tweet saying, of course, there's no room for abuse, yada, yada, yada. And I get that. But people such as Gareth Southgate need to stop playing.
It's his fault.
Yeah. They need to stop playing Harry Maguire to protect him from said abuse, because he's clearly not in form right now, right?
Mm.
But what do you guys make of the whole Harry Maguire situation and his mother? And Ella, I'll start with you. Oh, sorry, Lauren.
No, I was just going to say, they need to ask one of those pundits or his mother to name the last time Harry Maguire was man of the match when he was on the pitch.
Facts.
Name the last good performance. Please let us know when it was so we can go back to the archives to go and watch it.
Ella? No, I agree, because what annoys me about Southgate is he's so inconsistent with players. And the reason I don't like him is because you go back to 2020 during COVID, no, 2021, and he called out Trent for being out of form, and that's why he wasn't in the squad. Mm-hmm. And you see the likes of Maguire, Hendo being picked.
My player no more.
It's a thing. Maguire, Hendo, not even being picked, but starting games ahead Calvin of Phillips. Other people. And I don't understand, like, as a player, how can you look at a manager and think, he doesn't treat me the same way as certain players? Mm. How do you expect them to give their all for someone when they know it's not a level playing field? How is Raheem Sterling not in the England squad? Yeah. There's so many questions with Southgate, and this is the issue. It's the inconsistency. Like, we all know Maguire should not be playing. So why are you coming out and saying it's unfair? You're literally putting him into the fire. No one is asking. Everyone knows he should not be playing because he's not playing for his club. Isn't that the basis of you being picked for international? Like, I don't understand, so...
I think I would respect him more if he came out with his chest and said, I'm picking my favourites, because that's just like, how it is.
Literally, be honest about it.
I also think this Maguire thing, what I don't like about it is they're gaslighting us. They're pretending like he hasn't been shit.
That's what I'm saying. When was the last good game? Please, let us know the basis. Yeah. Because when they describe him, top class player, top class this, really class, good like, professional. When did we last see evidence of that?
Do you know what it is, Lauren? I think they're embarrassed because he's just not the player that they thought he was. He's just not that player. I think when he went to Manchester United, they thought they had the next Rio Ferdinand, going to be a stalwart for Manchester United, England, like a real leader. All he is a big head and a tall man. Like, I think family members coming out, I think that makes me really uncomfortable, because what you're essentially saying is we can't criticize him for not playing well. And I think you should know, you've seen your son go through, you know, the academies and whatever, what for and whatnot, and you know that criticism is going to come if he doesn't perform well. When he was performing really, really well, was she out here saying, oh, don't say that because actually later on down the line, it could affect his mental health if his performance drops? I think that's unfair. And I also think, I look at some of the other players that have had way more, I don't even think the criticism has even been anywhere close to what they're portraying. I look at someone like Pogba and what he went through in this country, and I just think, are you crazy?
It was that wasn't even just criticism. That was character assassination, racism. It was just so many layers.
And where were all these people?
Raheem Sterling had that as
the
well.
Same thing. Yeah,
Rashford had that.
Rashford was the most abused United player last season. So they're acting like Maguire's the most abused Man United. That's not true. And it was Rashford.
And the abuse that Rashford and Pogba is a different level.
Yeah.
And I don't remember any of these people coming out to protect them. Like even I sent a thing in a group chat the other day, Jamie Carragher coming out and criticizing Onana. It was literally his fault for the goal. Like, what are you talking about? Like, what are we doing here? And you've also got a young man in Sancho. Why are they not protecting him?
Thank you.
Exactly.
He literally Egghead literally talked about his mental health was one of the reasons why he had to take a break. Why is he not currently getting protected?
To be honest, I have a lot to say on the Sancho situation, but...
Oh, we can let you free up in just a minute.
Yeah, I think it's slightly different, honestly, because let me even find the tweet, but Sancho has a history kind of not being as disciplined as he should be as a football player. He does have a history. So it's not like it came out of nowhere. I'm going to find the tweets
but
now.
That could also be... That could still be mental health, though. Like, you could...
For every club that you've
done. Dele Alli was tarnished with the same brush, and we've seen the consequences of how Dele Alli was portrayed, for example, in All or Nothing, and subsequently people's opinion of him. And he spoke in his interview with Gary Neville about how that's followed him. And we've seen the reasons behind that, you know, that drop-off of form, you know, an X, Y, and Z with Dele. But... Mm. Like I said, like with Maguire just gets this to put on this pedestal. And like, I agree with you. Like, it's like we're allowed to criticise players when they're not playing well. And I look at the summer, you know, if he's Ten Hag's fifth or sixth choice, yet you're still telling me he's a top class player.
Mm.
If in the summer, when they were happy to, like, United were happy to sell him, they accepted West Ham's bid, where were the other bids? For this top class player, he's not in demand.
I heard Chelsea had room. I heard rumors about Chelsea. I could have gone there myself. I would have protested.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it's a case of he doesn't play at club level because he isn't good enough to play at that level that United want to be at, and that is the to push towards the Champions League, to push towards winning trophies. He's not good enough to be in that team. Would anybody else in the big six group bracket, or even a Brighton, would they play Harry Maguire in their first team at this current moment in time? Probably not. So to use this kind of, oh, he's never had a bad game here, it just really frustrates me. Because like we said, there are so many other players who have gone through this, and they haven't seen this level of like PR campaign to defend and support these people in the press. And I'll finish by saying the first thing, come and tell me when Harry Maguire was last man of the match, and I'll sit down and be like, okay, if that's before COVID, all of this is unjustified of what they're doing in this PR campaign.
I also want to say there is a difference between abusing a player and criticizing a player.
And absolutely, which, please, we can't abuse players.
But I think he's getting both.
He's getting both. And I think there's like a thin line that some people are crossing and some people are abusing Harry Maguire. And of course, that's just where we draw the line. We say, okay, yeah, no, that is wrong. Yeah. But then at the same time, we are allowed to criticize as football fans. We are allowed to have our opinions. We're allowed to voice our opinions. And what we can't do is brush bad performances under the carpet. Yeah. Because even though I support England, as a Chelsea fan, I wouldn't let that go if it was Thiago Silva. I wouldn't let it go if it was Levi Colwill. I wouldn't let it go even if it was John Terry back in the day. Everyone is succinct to criticism. And as football fans, we are allowed to give that criticism.
Yeah.
Of course, don't cross the border where it gets to abuse. But Harry Maguire has not been in form for a very long time. Stop
playing him. Protect him from the abusers by not playing him. It's as simple as that. But I really want to hear about this Jadon Sancho.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I found the tweet. So I want to touch on why I said I think it's a little bit different. So at Dortmund, there was an exclusive where Sancho felt humiliated, scapegoated, and unprotected by Dortmund because I think that Dortmund made some public comments, but I don't know what the comments are, but it says it here. And then that was at Dortmund. And then at Manchester City, Sancho failed to turn up for training on several occasions. At Dortmund, he got fined 86K and he was forced to train alone in the pouring rain for repeatedly turning up late. And then at the Euros 2020, his playing time was limited because of his training form. So again, like for me, this kind of shows historically that his form is either poor in training or he turns up late. And there was also rumours at United that Ten Hag used to give Sancho the wrong time for training so he could come on time, but he still came late. So Sancho is out for disciplinary reasons. I think it's to do with his form at training and lateness. But if that's the case, then that's fair, in my opinion. That's not. Ten Hag hasn't done anything wrong by doing that.
But for me, what I do think is wrong. Like, I'm not disputing he has disciplinary issues. He doesn't train. But in the same calendar year, when you've got a player who has been struggling with their mental health and you took the decision to protect them, I'm going to compare this to what Postecoglou has said about Richarlison, for example, this week. If you've made the decision that you're going to protect a player and that you're going to speak highly of them, you're even going to isolate them and say, go and work on yourself, to then in the same calendar year, basically throw them under the bus by publicly criticising them, regardless of the reasons and whether those reasons are justified, I've seen Ten Hag not answer questions, for example, with what's going on, try to avoid answering questions with what's going on with Anthony and all different issues. He didn't need to publicly throw him under the bus.
That's a good point. I think he did make a choice there. But I've also seen in a recent interview with Bruno where he said that Ten Hag has individual meetings with players all the time. If he doesn't like something about their performance, anything, he would have individual meetings with them, give them an opportunity to talk it through, try and figure out the issue. So my thing is, if you're giving someone protection or you're protecting them, you've chosen not to say anything bad about them, obviously you expect them to return, not a favour, but you expect them to come back and like make sure they're performing on the pitch. You expect them to then come out and want to like work for, do everything right in training and have that motivation to keep sort of going. So if you're protecting a player and still nothing is changing in terms of their form, their discipline, then I think it's only human, like, for you to get sick and tired of it. Like, that's what I think.
Do you think,
come on. Like, if a player is continuously not in form, not coming on time to training after all you've done for them,
then sell them. You just had the summer window.
The thing is, right, I agree with what you're saying. I 100% agree. If all these issues keep coming and reoccurring, fine. But you have backed this person publicly about his mental health.
Okay.
And in a game where Sancho did not play, he didn't feature in said game, he did not have to.
No, he was asked. He was asked the question, and what he said wasn't even like crazy. He just said that he didn't. He said, "I have it here. Do you want me to play it?
But I also think to me, it's a bit. I know that this is a pattern of behaviour, but it suggests there's something deeper there. And I don't know whether we are really going to get the full story.
For sure.
I think what Lauren said about Dele Alli is correct, because there was a narrative out there that he was poor in training, he was lazy, he was that. And then we all know what happened to him in terms of his childhood and stuff. I think that people who act out, it's not just because they're lazy, it's because there's something deeper there. And I understand the quickest thing or the easiest thing is let's throw him under the bus. But the harder thing...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wasn't the first thing that happened.
Okay, so the first thing he tried to protect him, then he threw him under the bus. The harder thing is really trying to delve deep and get to the bottom of why this is a consistent pattern over his career.
But is that United's job?
Yes, it is.
They have a duty of care for their players.
But also,
dude, you're so harsh.
No, but I'm just okay. Maybe obviously it might not be the manager's job to do. We probably have therapists behind the scenes and all of that. That stuff. So maybe it's their job, but it's not necessarily the manager's job.
But then it's the press officer to be like, we're not answering this question. We're avoiding this topic because we are dealing with a player that we're trying to.
Because I don't actually think it was crazy. It wasn't even bad.
In terms of playing it, can we?
Yeah.
We'll cut it out. One sec. Go on.
Now what's the reloading? Damn.
Ella, you were going to say?
No, I was just saying that just a big part of management at the moment is man management, because we know players in this generation, like you look at Jose Mourinho, he used to call out players all the time. It's just a different, completely different generation. And you have players that aren't the best trainers, are a bit, okay, we'll use Hazard as an example. It's just on top of my head. Fantastic player. No, because I'm actually going to praise
him.
It's
fine.
Like,
it makes sense.
Let Helen.
Don't worry, Tima. You already know if it was something bad.
Yeah, exactly. The microphone swinging backwards.
I saw the pod last week. I'm treading carefully.
Okay.
But Hazard wasn't a great trainer. Mm. I think Mikel came out and said it. But was brilliant on the weekend. Always brilliant when he played. So it's just about trying to manage different characters. And for someone like Sancho, if you look at Dele Alli and what he spoke about Poch, sometimes these players just need an arm around them, because we forget how young they are. They're very young and they're being given a load of responsibilities on their shoulders and have high expectations. But I also think it's a part of Sancho's problem, his lack of motivation, because you look at someone like Antony and he's just not being given a chance. And it's like Sancho was levels at Dortmund, performing in the Champions League. He was
regardless of him
player.
Being a poor trainer or turning up late, he was fantastic
on the
pitch.
He was an excellent player. And he's come to Manchester United, big price tag. And it's just like he's not being felt as like a main guy, a main man. And you can tell that's kind of his character and that's kind of what he wants. He wants the responsibility. So for someone to be on the bench and kind of outside that, I can understand why he might lose a bit of motivation and why that might be a problem. But of course, turning up late and everything isn't great. But I think Ten Hag needs to, I don't know, adapt his man management skills, and because it's such a key part.
Is it working?
Okay, yeah.
No, Scott is ill, and Jaden was on his performance on the training. We didn't select him. Now, you have to reach a level every day on Manchester United, and we can make choices in the front line. And so for this game, he wasn't selected.
That was it.
That still sounds bad in my ears.
Because you're saying he doesn't train
for context.
Beatrice
has played what Erik ten Hag said in that post-match conference where he spoke about Jadon Sancho. I still think it's unnecessary. He could have said, Jadon Sancho, he's not playing for disciplinary reasons.
No, but it wasn't for disciplinary reasons at this time. He clarified that.
But a lot of managers deflect that question when they get asked that and say, why haven't you asked me about this other player who also wasn't in the squad? There's a way that you can answer that question without basically insinuating, like saying, yeah, this player hasn't trained up to the correct standards, so that's the reason why they've not been selected. He didn't have to give that reason. He could have just said, this person also wasn't in the squad. Da-da-da-da, we've got 25 people. You can't pick everyone. We've heard the excuses that managers give.
We had a lot of people out. If he wasn't getting picked, then there's obviously a reason, and it was obvious that there was something wrong, because at the bare minimum,
you could have lied. You could have said he was ill.
Just say fitness reasons, because it's literally about fitness.
Yeah, like
I think because last season, right, there was plenty of moments where Sancho was out ill. He was out ill all the time, and we didn't know like the reasons at that time. So I don't know what has happened. I thought something had happened. That's why he came out and actually said that. But I don't know, man. Personally, I don't think it's that much of a big deal. Like, whatever's happening behind the scenes, they'll deal with it. But if there are disciplinary issues, then there are. Like,
do you know what? Let's talk more about on the pitch with Man United. Like we said at the start, 3-1 is a mad concern at home. And what do you take from that performance as a whole? And what do you take from Erik ten Hag? Like, we've spoken about what manager is going to get sacked first. And a lot of us said, Erik ten Hag could get sacked. I don't believe he'll get sacked.
I don't think so either.
Because I don't think Man United can afford to do that. But what do you make of these performances that you've had so far this season, especially this 3-1 loss?
Yeah, I think so. We've won 2 games this season and lost 3. And when I looked back at, I think it was 2 seasons ago, it was last season actually. We had a similar form at the start and we picked it up. So I think at the moment, obviously, it doesn't look good, but I think we still have time to pick it up. It's only been 5 games. We can pick it up. But I think the fact that we have a lot of players out doesn't help, because the people currently playing for the team, not many of them score goals. So if the people that are meant to be...
It sounds like Chelsea.
It does sound like Chelsea. So when team has said it's not an excuse that you have players out, it doesn't help, obviously.
Goal scorers that are missing from the team. I'm not even trying that as a dig. But beyond Rashford,
Hoyland isn't fully fit. He's our striker. Mm. He's not even fully fit. Like, we had to take him off because he can't play.
He got booed for taking him off.
Yeah, but he can't play a full 90 because he's not actually fit.
They got to go to the Allianz midweek as well. So,
and then Amrabat is there. Not he's injured. Not fit.
What is it with your medicals and they can't pick up these back injuries?
No, I think they knew, but they brought them in on the basis that the injuries weren't serious. Which I don't know if that's a good idea, but. That's why
we
team,
we can't talk with our injury list. We cannot talk. We brought Wesley Fofana. He just came back from ACL. God.
Yeah. And then obviously on the right, we have 2 people out on that side. The only person we have left there is Pelestri.
Who?
Pelestri. I learned his name in the group chat.
he's a young talent.
From your academy?
No, he's not from our academy.
You bought him?
A while ago, yeah.
I've honestly never heard of him.
Yeah, because he hasn't really played.
Has he been online?
Yeah, he was online.
Where did he go online to?
I don't actually know. I'm not going to lie.
So, would you play Pelestri in your next match?
I think Bayern we have Munich. To. I think we have to. We have
against
to play
Bayern
him.
Munich.
Yeah. We're going to have to play him. We're not doing the diamond thing again. It wasn't looking good. So, we're going to have to play him.
All right. We'll come to Champions League matches very shortly. I think only you can talk about my Champions League matches this season.
Oh,
this is the girl. No Tottenham, no Liverpool, no Chelsea, no Champions League.
We could have just no Manchester United either.
We could just cut this section out, innit? No,
we still gonna talk about the Champions League. We gonna give some predictions. We're gonna be sitting from outside the club talking about Champions League. That's fine, but. Let's move on to Spurs, because I didn't give you the time to talk about Spurs in your last time here. So let's talk about Spurs. Postecoglou Ball.
We use his first name.
That rolls off the tongue a little bit about Ange Ball. Tell me a little bit about it.
It is high press, win the ball back early. We play with inverted fullbacks, keep possession of the ball, move the ball quickly.
Wow.
and
school doesn't sound like you're describing Tottenham.
that's the style of play, and his style of play matches up with, and I'm not like a big full advocate of this, but you know, the Tottenham Hotspur way that a lot of our fans want to see attacking football, and having three consecutive defensive style managers, he's just come in, he's been like a breath of fresh air from the football, but also him as a person, like the way he's dealt with the Richarlison situation this week and spoken so positively. And yeah, it just had to be Rishi coming off the bench to win us the game. Latest comeback win ever, breaking our previous record against Leicester when Bergwijn got two goals at the end. But yeah, it was just like, it was hard because we didn't deserve to lose the game. But generally, it was like 95, 96 minutes. And I'm still sat. I was like sat there thinking, no, we're still going to get another chance. I still don't think we're going to lose the game. And I think because Ange has very much a we don't give up mentality, and the fitness work that has been done in the summer meant that we could go to 110 minutes and push and push and push. And yeah, Richarlison equaliser, Kulusevski winner, limbs in the south stand. I'm happy. Like I'm just happy that my team we're playing good football and we're winning matches. It's and so, people are sorry, happy.
It's so weird hearing you talk like this. You are miserable.
I've been in the depths of despair. It's just like, it's nice because, like I said, like it's not as if I'm not going to sit here and say under Conte we were rubbish. Like that when he first came in and we managed to get top four from like eighth place, that was a great season. Last season was atrocious. But to have, I think, a manager that the entire fan base is behind, players who are playing like they want to be there, people who are now taking responsibility. Like we haven't just changed. Like half of our starting 11 is different. Our leadership team is completely different. Like there's been a lot of change and we've been this good this quickly. I wasn't expecting us to see the vision this early. I was expecting us to have more of a start that Chelsea have had, to be honest. So I'm happy that we're playing this well this quickly. Obviously, if we get injuries, the wheels will come off if we lose certain players. But again, like Klopp didn't do it in like it took a number of transfer windows. It took Pep a number of transfer windows. It's taken Arteta a number of transfer windows. We're gonna take time, but I'm happy with what I see. Like I have belief in what we're trying to do.
And you two look so upset.
As a Chelsea fan, I wish for your downfall.
No, because I was really upset when you guys got Poch and I didn't want Ange. I hold my hands up. I was like, who? But
he's doing well.
Yeah, like he's adapted, and players who I was ready to sell in the summer have adapted and managed to play, you know, the way. And when I look at players like Pape Sarr and just young players, like where we've spent a fraction of the money that other clubs have to kind of bring in that young talent, and they're adapting and they're stepping up. I'm happy. Like Sonny in our team is the only one that's over the age of 30, so he's building a foundation for players. They haven't hit their peak yet. Good times, Spurs fans. Good times.
Like, it is so crazy because this is the kind of excitement and the kind of description Chelsea fans would have wanted for Chelsea.
I'm not convinced by Tottenham. I think early doors, yeah.
But here is we that go. The hater in you speaking?
Can I finish my sentence?
No, here we go. Here we go. Yeah. Come on then. Come on, Chelsea fan. Shit on us. Let's go.
I think in the long run, I think, yeah, you've done well. Like, five games, amazing. I'm glad the fans are back. But I don't know, like, whether long term, over the course of the season.
I'm actually going to piss myself.
I don't know over the course of the season whether that you're going to be able to maintain those levels, because I do think you're going to get injuries, and I do think that...
But that's what I just said. We've only had one transfer window. We're not a complete article.
She's saying that. I've already said that.
We don't have Europe.
Let me land the plane. Like, I'm literally not even on the runway.
Relax. You should be grounded because you're doing that's what you should be doing.
I don't even think, like, I'm not convinced that this guy, let's see, long-term, whether he can maintain this it'll be interesting to see what happens over the course of the season.
But I'm not expecting us to go and win a league title.
I'm not saying the league title.
Or do whatever. I'm expecting us to push for top four. I want
she
top
picked
five.
Her words wisely.
That's what I'm expecting. Like, push. Like, I want us
say
to.
Say you're expecting top four.
No, but I'm not. I want. If somebody would have asked me on the first game of the season, I would have said I want to get back into Europe. I wouldn't have defined which European competition. Mm-hmm. But I do believe, based on what I've seen in early on, if our players can stay fit, I think we can push for Champions League. But again, we safe. Need. We are not Chelsea. We cannot go spend £1 billion. We need European revenue. So whether that's the Europa League, people are so happy, they will go and watch the Europa League games as well.
Also, I do think it is possible with starting 11 to push for top four. Arsenal basically did it. So
I think they're going to finish it.
Without Europe, without League Cup. Yeah, I think
that'll be fine. We're only playing once a week between now and January.
Yeah, and that was Arsenal's opportunity to get in top four. And I think Tottenham potentially could do the same thing. Not that I want them to, but
Spurs are still Spurs at the end of the day.
That's fine. But like to be where we are after five games under this manager, like I said, we're going to, in order to have a fuller looking squad and then being able to compete back in Europe and still sustain the same level in the Champions League when we get back in, we're going to need two or three summers.
Yeah.
But I want this manager in place for the next 2, 3, 4 years. Like, I want to give him as much time as Poch had to get us to push, because I believe he's the right guy. I wasn't confident under Conte. I thought Conte and Mourinho could perhaps win us a cup quickly. But in terms of actual long-term doing the rebuild, I'm confident that Ange will be able to lead us and we'll be better on the other side of the rebuild
what
under him.
What is the other side of the rebuild? If I may ask, is it a trophy? Is it playing good football? Or is it just staying in the Champions League? Because I've never quite understood what
all of the above. Yeah. Like, it's all of the above. This is our first season in 14 years that we haven't had European football. Mm. Like, I wasn't coming on the pod every week being like us, like we are. It was a terrible season. So I expect us to be consistently getting back into European football. Ideally, if that can be Champions League, I expect us to win a trophy, because I've only celebrated one trophy in the entire time that I've been alive. And if we can keep investing and use the new stadium revenues and that, then it's about going to get the players that will give you the extra 1%. Then you start thinking, and I'm not talking about in next year or the year after, in 5, 6 years time, I start thinking, okay, how do we build a squad that's then capable of winning the league? Mm. And that's, I need to see progression. We've fallen so far away from that we haven't finished in Europe. You can sit there and laugh, but what's the point?
I'm not going to win the league in 5 seasons.
No, but that's not what she's saying. She's saying even a rebuild. That would be the goal.
That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
You guys can go along with this nice story.
No, but it's for anyone. Even for Chelsea, the goal of a rebuild will be for you to challenge for trophies.
To go and win the league in 5, 6 years.
We're talking about top six sides.
If Pep Guardiola stays at City, it's going to be hard for anybody to take that league title off of him. But it's about pushing and getting closer for all of us.
Yeah.
All of us is about how can you close that gap to City.
She said it's Aston Villa's cup to go to the Premier League.
So it's funnier because they actually are rebuilding, but they're not gonna win the Premier League.
They're rebuilding as a mid-table club.
They're in Europe this season. So if they're
but
rebuild,
their goal would be to
5, 6 seasons to win the league. Like, what are we doing here?
Wait,
man?
Who are we talking about now? Aston Villa.
Well, historically, that's not what they've achieved. So obviously, it's not
historically. Okay,
fine.
Haven't either.
Fine.
Emery won't be there in 5 years. Let's be honest.
How do you know that?
Emery's not going to be there in 5 years.
Postecoglou might not even be there in 5 years.
Yeah, Postecoglou might not be there in 5 years.
Livy's not sacked. Do you know how many managers that we're paying for? For the people that we sacked early? Do you know how much money we were paying for Antonio Conte?
I'm just saying.
He's not going to be there in 5 years.
He might not be there.
We are not. Historically, apart from this terrible period that we've been in, we have given our managers time. Ange will get given time. I have never seen the fan base this happy since we got to the Champions League final.
Wow.
Like, honestly, it's good vibes. Do you know how much? Do you know how many games I'm going to over there? I'm scrambling around trying to find tickets because I need to be there in person.
Just to watch good football.
When you've been struggling for a long time, yeah, trust me, you'll be going.
Trust me, I know. I understand. Because I'm not going to a single Chelsea game this year. I'm not going, unless I'm invited. I'm not going to a single Chelsea game.
I think the title of this pod is that Tottenham are going to win the league in 5 to 6 years.
Oh, I never actually. What is our goal? What is the point in being in the Premier League if your goal is to not eventually try to win the competition?
Luton, 5-6 years.
Who said Luton? Tima, I hate you. I actually hate you. Okay, forever running your agenda, but it's okay. Oh,
so I'm just being for real. Like, I think it's great. Like, obviously, when you come in, you've got a new manager, you get the new manager bounce, good vibes. But
not all of us get that.
Okay, not all of us get that, whatever. But I just think let's not get ahead of ourselves.
I wasn't getting ahead. I said a good season. I would hope, I want us to get back into Europe. How is that getting ahead of ourselves?
You said, you didn't say Europe. You actually said
Europe. I said Europe. Did I not say Europe? I said
push for Champions League.
Europe as a minimum and to push for top for Champions League.
Top five, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, to push.
I think that's a bit ahead of Tottenham personally. But.
All right, so another topic that's been trending on Twitter after Man United won and after Tottenham won is the fact that, one, Hannibal celebrated his goal.
Oh, he's young.
With a free one.
He's young.
It's his first goal.
He's been working his whole life.
And it was a good goal as well. Like, it wasn't a tapping.
I mean, I understand he's young, first goal. Obviously, everyone else, they wouldn't have done that because we would have cussed them.
I felt like Martial felt sorry for him, so went, well done.
Yeah.
Because no one went to celebrate with him.
Not being funny, you guys didn't give Daniel James that same grace when he scored his first goal. And he celebrated. Oh, what did he do? He stood in front of the fans and he was celebrating. Yeah. And then it was Martial that
cracked. Dan James got lost on his way back to championship football. Sorry. At least Hannibal's like from the academy. So,
yeah.
Like, you get it.
I thought it was so harsh when I saw people say, why is this motherfucker celebrating? Blah, blah, blah. I'm just like.
No, I can give him some grace.
He's a young boy.
But then this is the life of a footballer. Getting used to criticism.
Yeah. I like the way you 360 that.
Especially when we're talking about Man United. Love that, man.
I think majority of our players get criticised. It comes with being a Man United player.
Yeah, because some of them are a bit dodgy.
No, even if you're good, you still get criticised.
Okay, fair enough. And also, Tottenham got a bit of stick for celebrating like you guys won the Champions League against Sheffield United.
Yeah, like,
it's last minute. Nah.
Like, when you're losing the game in the 96th minute and you win, sorry, people are going to celebrate. Like I said, the vibes are good at Spurs. Also, people are happy. People are happy to be there. The same way when Arsenal celebrated last season when, what's his face, Reece Nelson scored the goal.
But like, they were on the title charge. That's different. They were on the title charge.
Okay. But so what did you want everyone to do? Should we stand in silence?
There's nothing wrong with players having belief in themselves.
Exactly. Should we just spin in silence and just clapped?
I think, as a Chelsea fan, maybe I'm bad vibes. Because if that happened at Stamford Bridge, and it's to like a Sheffield United, I would just sit there and be like, this should have bloody happened to begin with.
No, but
maybe I'm bad.
Let's paint a picture.
Bearing in mind it was Richarlison who equalised. It was Richarlison's assist and what he's gone through and what he is still going through.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not gonna criticise.
The equaliser. Okay, I get you. Like, because
of the scored a last minute winner in the 100 and whatever minute.
He does have a point.
It's fine. I get what you're saying. But I'm just saying, for me, as a Chelsea fan, those kind of things don't move me, especially if it's a team.
But what part of the celebration yesterday at Spurs had anything to do with Chelsea?
No, it didn't.
No, but she's not what you did.
It's a conversation. Yeah,
basically, you should have beat them before the last minute. Like, you should have been smashing Sheffield United.
Because, like you said, you didn't play badly. You played really well. Like, for example, if we got a last minute win against Bournemouth, I wouldn't have celebrated. No. Well, I would have celebrated, but I wouldn't have like gone wild. I would have just been like, this should have happened.
No, but I still feel like the context is different. If you've come off, you know, as a Chelsea fan, having watched your team play rubbish for like 2 years, and then your team is now back to back performing really, really well, that's different. That's different. Nah. Yes, it is, especially when it's good vibes and they haven't had good vibes in a really long time.
Nah. I can vouch as a Liverpool fan because I don't know if you guys are going to remember.
Yes. Yes.
Remember when we did that celebration and it was a 2-2 draw against
We're still clouding you to this day.
But do you know what it was? People won't understand. It was the connection between the players and the fans, yes. which Klopp wanted to build.
I'm sorry, that is shameless.
No, it's not shameless. It's not shameless at all.
Yeah. No,
because you look at the connection our fans have with our players and Klopp now. And it works. So I understand what you're trying to do.
Do you know how many times I came here last season and said these players don't even look like they want to play for the club?
Everyone has to be one.
Exactly. And I can't lie, that good vibes carries your team. 100%. It helps carry
we
your
have
team.
The North London derby next week. We need a united fan base. That's what it does.
I hear it.
Yeah. That's fine. You lot all fractured and sat here in history. That's okay. Let the misery run.
At the moment, I'm actually bad.
I've not been happy with my team for a long time. I want to feel that happiness.
Thank you.
It
doesn't matter what the team is, what the content is. If you get a last minute winner, that's adrenaline. At the end of the day, if you're sat at home, if you're in the stadium, what you feel is adrenaline.
I get the adrenaline part. I'm just saying... For me, as a Chelsea fan, when it's a team that I know we should have beaten, and this is probably because it's out of frustration and the way Chelsea have been playing, etc. So I can't put myself in your shoes entirely.
Mm.
But for me, if we had that last minute winner against Bournemouth, I would be like, this is what it should have been to begin with, as opposed to...
That's you. If there was a last minute winner today, that away end for Chelsea would have been going nuts.
You sure? I would have been going nuts, but I would have. I agree with Anita. Like, I think for me,
Chelsea fans are bad fans.
But it's Chelsea, okay, fine. But I think that's also like a. Let me not even say that.
She's gonna say loser mentality or something like that.
Anita doesn't like it when footballers cry. That's fine. Everyone doesn't like it when footballers cry, or managers, or whoever. So that's fine.
I like it when managers and footballers cry.
Yeah,
can I just say it's not footballers, it's managers.
I like the passion.
Cool.
But okay.
Yeah. Cool. Anyways, we still got the 3 points. That's the most important thing. Yeah, so there we go.
You got the 3 points, as they like to say on Stoppage Time TV, 3 point collectors.
Not there we go. I didn't even say it this weekend, man. I was even being kind. I didn't even say it in the group chat.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's because again.
Next time, I should have said it. I should have said it to you. Sorry.
I do feel like you didn't say it because there's an inch of shame in there. We'll come back to it.
I can't feel shame, man. I'm happy.
Sure.
Good vibes. Anyways, over to Liverpool.
That's great. Over to Liverpool. 1-0 down before half time. And
should have been 2.
It should have been 3,
should have been 4. Yeah. What was going
through your mind in that match, Ella? God damn.
I could not believe what I was watching.
To be honest, Klopp has a big blame because he started McAllister. He shouldn't have started McAllister. He came into the training ground less than 24 hours after playing 11,000 feet above sea level.
He hadn't recovered the oxygen in his system the way he was playing.
And the way the Wolves midfield, Lamina absolutely killed our midfield. Szoboszlai was terrible. Jones was playing a left wing role. Matip and Gomez, I'd rather not speak about them. Shout out to Kwanza though, making his debut at 20. I thought he was excellent. But second half, we were really good. Klopp made some good changes. So he did a double six with Szoboszlai and Jones, and he brought on Diaz. And then he took off Gakpo and Jota, and then brought on Nunes and Elliot. And I just think the amount of options we have in our forward line is just excellent, and it's really carrying us. And I'm really proud of the team, not in the fact that we should have beaten Wolves, of course, but we've, over the past 5 games, we've actually come through quite a lot of challenges. I mean, we've played games with 10 men, in 2 games, Newcastle game, we obviously came back and won. Bournemouth game, we maintained and won. Came back from behind 3 times. So the team is looking good in that it's looking a bit like a Klopp team again. Because last season, what was so frustrating is we would like give up like after a bad start. So we're starting to see Klopp.
They don't do that here.
No.
They say they don't do that anymore.
We did. We were doing that last season.
Don't speak for us.
No, no, no. Apparently, you're not. You should just give up and you shouldn't celebrate if you come back.
No one said that, man. Do you know
what? This is the loser talk.
This is the loser talk.
We don't do that.
This is the loser talk.
Which loser talk?
Do you know what? If you only if you have a trophy in the last 10 years, speak. Thank you.
Cool.
Wow.
That's discrimination.
But to be honest, how many games? I think 13 points out of 15. I'm very happy with that. I didn't actually expect us to be, even our midfield, to show such great signs so quickly. Especially Szoboszlai. I think he's an excellent signing. I understand Hendo not wanting to stay because he was getting no minutes.
Yeah, he was like, yeah. He wasn't going to play.
Szoboszlai's a bull.
At all, he's crazy. He's got everything.
It's funny because people underestimated this Szoboszlai guy as well. Like, I remember when you guys got him.
How good he is on FIFA. Sorry. Hmm? I knew he was going to. Do you know how good Szoboszlai is on FIFA?
He is. Obviously,
on career mode. He's crazy. The way his rating just.
People weren't sure about him. People really? Were saying, yeah, people weren't sure about him. And I remember because you guys wanted Enzo and Lavia and Caicedo as well. Everyone
they wanted
thinking,
Enzo as well.
Oh, yeah, you did want Enzo, but
I mean, we didn't bid for him. But yeah,
but yeah, obviously, Szoboszlai's come in and he's hit the ground running. And yeah. I'm actually looking at him like, you could have.
No, but he was in Nkunku's understudy at Leipzig, so.
No, they were on the pitch at the same time. No,
they don't play there in the same position.
I heard that he was his understudy.
No, he wasn't. Timo.
Do you know what? And the thing is, Timo, I was going to say they don't play the same position.
Yeah.
But we've been having a chemistry today.
So. Yeah, so I think what's positive is that we're just getting results because I think we're going to grow into the season. So, yeah, I think maybe watch out for Liverpool a bit. I still think maybe third, fourth, but...
I think you're already putting that shout already.
No, I predicted us to be fourth, but yeah.
Or second.
No, I didn't. Nah, I didn't.
No, I'm saying you don't think you've got a chance to get second.
Oh no, I don't know. It's difficult because I still think we're missing key pieces. I mean, our defense.
Hmm. Goodness.
Where was what's his name?
Virgil.
Yeah,
he was suspended because he abused the referee.
Ah! Yeah. When you hear what he said, it's just ridiculous.
What did he say?
He just said, "Effing, you're an effing joke." Like, do players not say that all the time?
It was in a very
and he was
fashion.
Fine. Worse. And he was fine 100k as well. It's just
players he's captain though.
Worse.
No, but they used to say it at each other.
Say it at the refs too. Like.
That's why they should do what they do in rugby. Put microphones on the referees, they'll soon stop.
Even Pickford today, the FA watched that Pickford at the linesman. No, I want him banned too, because let's have some consistency. He said, you're an effing joke, you're effing crap.
Is he captain though? You've got to lead by example.
Captain or not.
You've got to lead by example.
Redford is though, isn't he? Oh, no, it's Tarkovsky today.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
you've got to lead by example. Like, you can't be saying those things. To
and to be fair, it was very unlike Virgil in chemistry. Terms of his reaction. And I think because he's generally quite calm and he lost his head, that didn't help.
Yeah, I mean, but a big shout out to Mo Salah as well. 200 goal contributions in 223 games. Crazy.
Can you tell him to start scoring some goals though for FPL? Because the assists... Salad, for the price, it's
thing,
not worth it.
Why did Harvey Elliott? Why did Harvey Elliott?
You're right.
Why did Harvey Elliott?
Tongue twister.
Celebrate like that.
Because, like, this boy, he's literally a Liverpool fan. He's literally living his dream.
The celebrations.
You can't celebrate. Yeah, you can't be too happy.
And he wrapped up the game.
Can't be too happy.
It doesn't matter if he was.
Well, he didn't know that until afterwards. You could see that it clearly hit the players.
Okay, but he didn't know
it's
that.
It's fine, yeah.
No, it's okay. You can't celebrate too hard. No.
They actually won it in normal time.
What's the difference? No, let's not do that.
And it wasn't Sheffield United, so...
It was Wolves. The same Wolves that everyone predicted would also be in relegation battle.
Not going to lie, Wolves is a bogey team.
They beat us 3-0 last season.
Yeah,
but when
we went out to Sheffield United in the Cup last season under Conte.
Lauren, if you have a chance...
You know, but if it's like...
Can I just ask, like, how... But in terms of going behind in games, it seems like a consistent pattern. How do you kind of cut that out?
It's for different reasons, though. Like, this match was always going to be very difficult because we've got a lot of South American players. A lot of them didn't play, like Nunes, Diaz. McAllister, as I said, shouldn't have even started. And we had a makeshift back four with a kid who was literally carrying the defence. So I wasn't too surprised. But as long as we keep winning, that's fine. But it would be nice to have like our 11 back so we can start building into the season. So whenever Trent is back, Konate came on and is back. So yeah, let's see what we can do this season. Mm. But it's looking good. I'm happy.
You don't have any objections to Ella's predictions?
No, because I had a sneaky feeling at the beginning of the summer. It went a bit wayward, but I think you ended the window strongly that Liverpool would be back this season and would be in contention for the
you
title.
Fixed the midfield.
And so...
And do you know what's funny? I didn't think that Klopp fixed the midfield on paper. Like, on paper, it just didn't look like the midfield was fit. And even when you guys played against Chelsea, your midfield just seemed very exposed. Like, it seemed very gappy. And then all of a sudden...
But I was telling you both. Yeah, but
McAllister's not a six, though.
He's not a six.
Klopp affects.
Who have you got? Endo.
Endo, but we also have like Thiago and Bajetic to come back. There are six.
You need.
He's made of paper. I know he is, but
imagine Thiago in the six with McAllister and Sabozla. That's game changing.
I was going to say.
Even if it's for 10 games.
You better hope for that one game
I'm
that
hoping.
Matters the most.
I'm hoping.
How far out Old Trafford away? But that's your one hope.
And obviously we've got Gravenberch as well, who has a lot to prove.
The other guy that you had. Sorry.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to end the Premier League talk there. We've only got about 5 minutes left. And we're just going to run through the Champions League fixtures really quickly. Only person here that can really talk on Champions League is Beatrice.
I don't want to, though.
But do you think... because I haven't asked you, what are your expectations for Man United in this Champions League? Not the head scratch.
Just get past around 16.
Okay, so you don't expect them to go further than quarterfinals?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
You expect them to even get past around 16? I said that's the minimum expectation.
Is to get to the round of 16 or past round
past.
16. So you expect them to get to the round of 16?
You remember, you can't set your ambition too high. Bring it back down.
I'm answering a question. Someone asked me what my minimum expectation is. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. It means yes.
Why don't you say cause finals then?
I just said what I said. It's the same thing.
You said pass for the round of 16.
Okay, so the matches that we have. Step off everyone's neck.
I can't let people rest.
God, let everybody rest. Okay, sorry.
It's a strange way of putting it. That's the only.
She wanted to put it that way. Let her put it that way. Okay. Past round of 16 and quarterfinals, same thing.
All right.
So Man City play Red Bull.
Red Bull?
Is it like Salzburg or Leipzig?
Salzburg. Do you know what?
Isn't it Leipzig?
I always get this wrong.
They get them every
because
season.
On the thing it says, Crvena Zvezda.
Red Star Belgrade. That's
Red Star.
Not of the Red Bull.
I always get it wrong. They play Red Star. I'm guessing we're all going for. I'll
Is it away or home?
Might work.
Away or home.
They'll probably win all six games.
Away, that could be a bit tough, though.
We lost to them away.
That
it's
atmosphere
crazy.
Is crazy. Yeah.
When did you lose to them away?
When we got to the final.
2017-18.
No, but at least we got there.
Okay.
To be fair, we did say away games this year might be a big factor in the Champions League. Milan play Newcastle. Newcastle are off to Milan.
Milan win.
Everybody else in agreement with that?
Yeah, I don't think Newcastle have to. They're in bad form as well.
Yeah. They're in bad form as well.
Milan just got spanked in the derby. They'll have to react.
I'm not too sure. I feel like Milan's not in the greatest of forms. Newcastle's also not in the greatest of forms. I'm going to be watching that match. It's going to be interesting. PSG.
It's the early one as well on Tuesday.
Yeah, it's a 5:45
one.
Crying out loud. Yeah. It's a 5:45 one. Christ. Okay, I'll be watching it on my phone on Tuesday. PSG face Dortmund. Anyone looking at a PSG win?
Yeah.
But PSG have been poor as well.
Yeah, but Dortmund are not in... I don't think they...
You don't think they're in any position to...
Yeah, I just think they've lost too much now.
Mm. All right. And Barcelona play Antwerp. Okay. I don't think I need to ask you guys.
Toby held a very close for Antwerp, no. But yeah, Barcelona.
He won the league, didn't he?
Yeah, that was crazy. With the guy.
Real Madrid play Union Berlin.
Union Berlin.
They're about to meet Jude, man. Jude Berlin.
Okay. Hey Jude, we're getting a Jude Sully again.
Oh yeah, Ella, how's it going singing Hey Jude?
I'm good with Sabozla. It's cool. I'm good with him. It's hey cool.
Jude. It's cool. I felt so sorry for you, Ella, man.
It's all right.
Christ. Bayern Munich play Man United, as you know. Are we expecting a win for Manchester United as they go away to Bayern? Because Bayern, they're not in particularly bad form, but they don't look as convincing as they have been in past years. So
Tuchel's struggling to get that team working
a little bit. So do you expect a win, Beatrice? Okay. I don't blame you. Your defence is in the mud. Anyone else expect a win or no?
For United.
I didn't even expect United to beat Brighton, let alone Bayern Munich. Sorry, no offence.
All right, yeah. So a Bayern Munich win. Yeah. And
I'm not sure about Bayern Munich win.
They're at home.
It could be like a nil-nil.
Harry Kane could be chomping at the bit to prove everybody. So
Harry Kane, we know this is on British television. We need to do something. All right, so are we going for Jordan?
I'm going for a win.
I'm going to go for a draw. I'm going for a draw.
Fantastic.
If you're going to go for a draw, I'm going for a loss.
Oh, for God's sake, Steve.
Hater.
And Arsenal play PSV.
At the Emirates. Oh, damn. I wish they were travelling.
Emirates is going to be jumping.
Arsenal
going to win, innit? Yeah. Draw. I agree with Arsenal.
Draw.
For what reason?
They're not good in Europe.
They haven't been in Europe for time. We don't know what they are anymore.
They were in Europa League struggling
as
well.
But did PSV beat them?
Yep. Last season.
Okay, is that Ruud van Nistelrooy's team?
He isn't managed anymore, does he? Is he still there?
I'm sure he's still there.
Sexy boy. Van Nistelrooy.
Are you dumb? Van Nistelrooy is handsome.
Are they doing the extra he time at the time thing in the Champions League?
He looks like
League
the Prince Charming from Shrek.
Exactly. Or is it just the Premier League?
I don't know.
I hope they are. So I hope there's... What was the question, Lauren? If they're doing the added World time Cup thing time. In the UEFA comps as well. I just hope there's 15 minutes added time each half.
Crying. Anyway, and with that in mind, we are going to close off this podcast. Wait, hold on. Did we say that back? You said that Arsenal's going to draw.
Mm.
We said Arsenal's going to win?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going to go draw as well.
You're going to go draw?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that, guys. And with that being said, we are going to close off this episode. It's been a little bit heated with Tima and her rants against Todd Boehly. We've had Beatrice... And I don't even think Beatrice was here today. Beatrice was just nice and calm. And
she was going on off on Sancho.
I don't know. You came with your receipts.
You
presented your case.
Yeah. B came with her receipts on Jadon Sancho. We spoke a lot about Harry Maguire. Lauren is happy, but she's not allowed to celebrate last minute winners, according to myself and Tima, because I just think have some shame. And Ella is back with a smile. You don't look sad. You don't look depressed. Even though there is an episode coming out in the coming weeks where Steven Gerrard doesn't make the top five Premier League midfielders
ever. I was not involved in this
ever.
Episode. I cannot.
When you were involved,
Liverpool. But still.
All right, stay tuned to what we have coming out. Faye's Corner is back also, so make sure you like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Make sure you follow us on Instagram and Twitter, at GoldDiggersUK on Twitter and at GoldDiggersUK _ on Instagram. And we'll see you next week. Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.